Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Frank Wycheck tragically passing away over the weekend at the age of 52. And to help us discuss the life and legacy of Frank Wycheck, a Titans great, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I will say that news coming across yesterday, it was a kick to the gut. I mean, having covered Frank and knowing why he retired, it wasn't a huge surprise. I think those of us who'd been around him, who'd covered him, knew that he was struggling. The concussions had taken a bit of a toll on his health, but to get that, when you know somebody, and 52, it is a kick to the gut.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Teresa, you know, we were just kind of going through Frank's kind of legacy here in terms of what he did on the field, which was really significant, obviously, for the Titans. You know, he moved into broadcasting after his career was over with here. But when you think about your dealings with Frank over the years, what comes to mind?
Well, he's what we call a go-to guy. He was the guy, you know, along with Eddie George, Steve McNair, and Al DeGreco when he was here, that when you needed somebody to talk to, whether it was after a practice, after a win, after a tough loss, there were a bunch of those first couple of years. I mean, you know, the trips to Memphis and then the games at Vanderbilt as the Tennessee Oilers, those were tough, tough games. Stand up at the locker and talk. No matter how, especially after the final game of his career, the 17-14 loss in New England, a divisional game that had been at that point the coldest game in franchise history. You know, he talked and then shook hands with everybody going out of the locker, the media, because he knew he'd had two concussions that season. We were kind of worried about, you know, him coming back. I later talked to him, you know, for a story a colleague was doing when Wes Welker was looking to get back quickly from a concussion playing with the Broncos. And then I talked to him again before the, you know, for the NFL's 100th season. And let's not forget, I had somebody on social media say he was a Titans great. That's what needed to be in your headline. And I'm like, he was the guy who threw the lateral on a play, the Music City Miracle, that as the NFL celebrated its 100th season, was still ranked as the fourth best play in league history.
Yep.
And I'm sorry, I put that as great as he was for this franchise, and he was great. I mean, he led this team in receptions three straight seasons. I mean, you know, he was Steve McNair's best buddy when he needed somebody to be open, and he always was open. And the man had a perfect passer rating. You know, I think he was 5 of 6. So when they needed him on trick plays, that was the guy. So it's like, you know, I'm sorry. In my estimation, you know, yes, he was deservedly put into the Ring of Honor for this team in 2013.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to ask you just about that day, Teresa, and what, you know, just that moment in that stadium, in that press box with Frank and that play. What I mean, obviously we all know the play and the delay waiting for the review and all these things, but what else really stands out for you about that?
Well, Joe, I'll say this. Barry Wilner, who recently retired from the Associated Press, after the Bills kicked the field goal to go up, he turned to me because I was standing up. This may have been the last morning kickoff for an NFL playoff game, Bills Titans, okay? I mean, I think it kicked off at like 11, 11:30. It was ridiculous, right? And, you know, you watch the drive. My husband, who was in the stands, actually used that moment to go to the bathroom so that, you know, he was trying to beat the end-of-game rush to the restroom. So he missed the play. But Barry Wilner turns to me because I'm standing up getting ready to go downstairs to the Titans locker room. I'm already thinking of my sidebar, yet another playoff disappointment for a franchise who I had watched the AFC championship losses with Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini as the Houston Oilers. And I was, you know, I was thinking of the Mike Renfro touchdown that should have been called a touchdown catch. And he says, "Don't worry, I always get the weird ones. Don't forget." He had covered the Buffalo Houston playoff game where Houston
35-3.
Yes. And he said, "I always get the weird one." So I'm standing, and where our seats were that day, it was a little weird. I'm kind of on the line almost with the throw by Frank. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, that's a lateral. Now, the only thing I didn't know is, you know, first you look for a flag, you know, because everybody's watching and it's like, this can't be happening. This can't be happening. And you're looking for a flag. Then you watch the official go under the hood to watch the replay. And you're thinking, okay, now what matters is, do they have the right TV angle to show that ball? Because if, you know, if you've watched that replay at any time at all, you know, Kevin Dyson's got that left leg is stretched and then he goes backwards to catch the ball. And Frank, you know, he turns after the little pitch from Lorenzo Neal and then throws it. And he knew he had to get it back. And I had talked to him about that for the, you know, 100th anniversary, look back at that play as part of the 100th season. And he knew that it went backward. And it was just a matter of, would they find a replay? And when they came out and everybody in the stadium is on their feet, you know, no, I don't know if anyone's breathing with anticipation because it's all hanging on what that official would say. And when he said the play stood, that place went insane. I mean, you already had people standing and waiting. You know, our top photographer in Tennessee, Mark Humphrey, was on the Buffalo sideline preparing to shoot what we call jubo shots of celebration because, you know, you have to position like that, right? And then it just slips on a moment like that. And then from there, I mean, that play, you know, everyone's celebrating. And I'll guarantee you there's a million people who weren't there that day who will tell you now, I was to watch that play. And that's the thing. It launched that run to the Super Bowl, still the only Super Bowl appearance for that franchise in their 60-plus years. And it was just a thrilling ride. I would be in town, you know, through that one and, you know, go out to get lunch. And people would say, "Man, did you see that play? Did you see that play?" And it was the lateral from Frank that truly just set up just the wildest ride in sports that I have ever been a part of.
Teresa Walker with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. And Teresa, I mean, it's kind of wild to relive that because I remember watching that live as well. And then, you know, Frank.
You were alive, Robbie?
Yes, I was, barely. I was like 7 at the time this all went down. But, you know, and then Frank after that goes on to obviously have a great broadcasting career. He did, you know, Titans Radio with Mike Keith, obviously the show with Kevin Ingram and Mark Howard as well. And we were talking about this last segment. Like, to me, in some ways, he kind of felt like the first professional athlete here in our city to offer that perspective and to be, you know, in the booth where you felt like he was just kind of watching the game with you, you know, Joe Schmo, the casual fan, and explaining things in a way that, you know, you never really heard explained before here in our city. Obviously, you know, his personality just from being around him, not a surprise that he went on to be a great broadcaster.
Oh, none at all. And you know, his predecessor was Pat Ryan,
yeah,
who was on the call for the Music City Miracle and still works Tennessee Volunteer football games. And Pat was great, but Frank was a part of that group that had, and people forget, that 5-year run, their first 5 years as the Titans, was among the best in the NFL. I mean, they reached 2 AFC championship games, the Super Bowl, the divisional loss at New England, the win at Baltimore, a game that's more known for Gary Anderson's touchdown or field goal and Eddie George hurting his shoulder and coming back in and just mowing over Ray Lewis. But, you know, then when Frank transitioned into the booth and became the color analyst, he was that era. He was the guy who helped cement this NFL franchise in Nashville and in the state of Tennessee. I mean, people don't remember now. I mean, I was at a sporting goods store yesterday. I'm seeing the Oilers throwbacks and, remembering the fight. It's like, we don't have oil derricks in Tennessee. Why are they calling them the Oilers? We want our own nickname, and how they were ignored in Memphis and at Vanderbilt in 98. And people said, we want our own. That, Bud Adams changed the nickname to help sell tickets for the new stadium. And I think Frank and Craig Hendrick, Blaine Bishop were all part of that group that, helped to show off the new uniforms when they finally brought them out, the flaming thumbtack, as they called it then. But Frank being in the booth and being on radio as part of that morning show, he helped continue the buy-in to this franchise after that incredible run, because, let's not forget it. There were some tough years, and that those 5-27 seasons were painful. But because you had Frank, a guy who had been a part of the greatness that helped cement this franchise, that is as much a part of his legacy as what he did on the field. And let's not forget, this is a guy, sixth-round draft pick by Washington out of Maryland. The then Houston Oilers, Floyd Reese claimed him off waivers. And then he ends up, when he retired, he was fourth all-time among tight ends in receptions. And, I mean, that's the thing. This guy was not just, an everyman who worked his way onto the roster. He caught passes, and he led this team when they were looking for a receiving threat, and they were struggling. I mean, does that ring a bell, anybody? But he was the guy who stepped up. And, I'm going to be helping pick the 25-year anniversary team for the Titans. There was never, ever a doubt who one of the starting tight ends is for this team. It's Frank Wycheck, for what he meant to this franchise.
Yeah, and speaking of legacy, Teresa, obviously, he's been outspoken about his issues and about the fact that he is going to, as the family confirmed yesterday, essentially donate his brain and be part of the studies on CTE and brain injuries. What about that aspect of his legacy, but also just the last few years for Frank?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when he was replaced by Coach Mack, and we all loved Coach Dave McGinnis for the 2017 season, I think fans started worrying. And then when when he was no longer on the morning radio and you didn't hear from him, I think people were, it felt like, almost like he went into hiding. But when I talked to him in 2014, he knew he had done some research about the lingering effects and about if going back into the game, and he had studied upon it, and he knew that it could potentially be fatal. And that's why he had made the commitment to make sure that he had, a connection and that whatever happened to him when he passed, that it would be studied. I talked with him over, the CTE and the brain research. Back in 2017, he made clear that he was going to be a part of this to help study. Part of the, there was a study in 2017 that was part of the Journal of the American Medical Association, the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. And he was a part of that. That journal case in 2017 looked at people from Ken Stabler and Dave Duerson, but it also included, other people. And Frank Wycheck, he made very clear that he planned to donate his brain for research. And at that time, what he said, some people have heads made of concrete, and it doesn't really affect some of those guys. But CT is real. And this is when he was 45. I know I'm suffering through it, and it's been a struggle, and I feel for all the guys out there going through this. So, to read the details that he was at his home in Chattanooga, apparently fell and was found Saturday afternoon. They don't know exactly when he fell Saturday, but he was found Saturday afternoon. I mean, it's just, it's tough not to think. I mean, I love the sport of the NFL. That was, you know, of all the sports that I've covered, football, the NFL particularly, has been my love because I've watched it since the 70s. But it's tough because you see the effects that they have on that playing this game has on people, and knowing the likely impact that it had on Frank, shortening his life, and more importantly, the enjoyment of his life after retirement at the age of 32. Guys, he still was under contract. He still had the talent. He could have played longer had he wanted to, but because he had two concussions in about a month or so, he knew that he needed to step away because those weren't just the first two concussions, unfortunately, that he had suffered in his career.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Teresa, really appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I really enjoyed your perspective on this. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure, and same. And next time, hopefully, it'll be a happier circumstance.
Yep, absolutely. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest.
Thanks, Teresa.
Here on Robbie and Rexall. We'll take your thoughts on the passing of Frank Wycheck. Give us your best Frank Wycheck memory. 615-737-1025, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.